Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 25th, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this and more at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube, and some FM stations. So please, pray about supporting airtime. Okay, on another note, let's thank our listener base. It is places like Frankfurt, Germany, and Leipzig, Germany. And the reason I bring both these up, because Frankfurt this last week surpassed everybody in downloads to the podcast, which real surprised me because, yeah, they normally listen to us over there, but it's only a few downloads a week. But this week it went crazy. And so thanks to you folks over there in Germany. Anyway, and the city of Zagreb, Croatia, Dublin, Ireland, China, Paris, France, and, of course, cities in the United States, such as Nashville, Tennessee. Now, for the United States, Nashville, Tennessee went off the charts this week in downloads from Nashville, Tennessee. Well, I'm glad you're listening to me over there in Nashville. Keeps doing it and spread them around. Anyway, so thanks to the folks in Nashville. San Jose, California, which happens to be my birthplace. Buffalo, New York. St. Louis, Missouri. And, these are just a few, of course. And we have to bring up Wichita, Kansas, when we're not getting these radio spikes, as I call them, on podcasts. Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners for radio programs when they go to podcasts later tonight. And so folks over there in Wichita, pray about supporting us because, we are there doing his work in your city. Anyway, also, please follow and share us on Twitter. Please. You find us at Pastor Dan Catlin, C-A-T-L-I-N, at Branch77. That's on Twitter. Look for us, follow us, and be blessed. Now, a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will, Father. Please give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth, lift the veil from the eyes, and make the program according to your will and not ours. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Cryptocurrency. Wow, we've seen it really drop last week, didn't we? I think it was last week. Anyway, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, and that was when it dropped. Like 2 days later, it dropped. And anyway, so we had Tom Mack on with us talking about it. And on that radio program, I said I'd get him on later in the month. Well, this is the last radio day of the month, but he needs to come back on because he needs to explain what happened. He's going to do that and a lot more. So for a real informed talk, we bring back on with us Tom Mack. He is a school principal and owner at White Cottage Publishing Company. Lives in Trinidad, Colorado. You're thinking about getting a book published? Get a hold of him. He's an A-plus certified computer technician, a NET certified network technician, as well as a book designer, and webmaster. In the past, he has even been an airport administrator, manager, and controller. I wonder if he crashed any planes, Yuck. Oh, I'm just joking. Anyway, we should also mention at one time he was a tax specialist. These are all things that work with numbers, you know, and you have to be a real trained person to do these things. Anyway, Tom has also did research with Bible codes since 1996. That requires numbers. And that is 20 years plus of code research. This is the kind of background what is really needed for our talk tonight, which is going to be about cryptocurrencies. You know, that's just crypto, that even sounds, you know, cryptic. Okay. Anyway, I'm in a good mood, so let's welcome back Tom Mack. Are you there with me, Tom?
Yes, I'm there. I'm here, and thank you for having me on.
So glad to have you on, and I'm seeming to be find myself in a good mood, which I'm always in a good mood most of the time. But for this program, what happened last week anyway, man? You were on, and you were talking about some dark parts of it, and then, man, 2 days later, it went, pow, crash.
Weekends are a tough time on the cryptocurrencies because most of them do not sell much over the weekends. And so what happens, you have a specialized type of investor called a bear. And what he does, he looks for tops in the market. And when he finds them, he sells into them. And that causes the market to go down. Mm-hmm. And also, we've had records in our own stock markets. I sent you the sheets on that. In fact, if you want to put those up for people to look at, I have not released too many of these sheets, and I'm going to let you be one of the first to release them tonight.
Well, amen. And I'll tell the folks real quick, go over and look at my pastor's page. I'll put them up there first when the program's over. Back to you.
But this, what we've seen here is we've seen a lot of people selling off because they've made their money. December and January, the first half of January, there was some incredible money made. And when that happens, guys want to get their money off the table as quick as they can. And that will force the market down. Also, I started wondering if there was some credit constriction later in the month too. And when credit is restricted because we've had rises in interest rates the last couple of weeks, and when that happens, it forces people to sell who probably don't want to sell, but they have to. So that's why we've seen almost from the time I was on that program until a couple of days ago, we've seen a severe bear market in cryptocurrencies. And even today, I just sent you a sheet a little while ago. Even today, with some that were going up pretty well, we still had only 36% up as opposed to 64% down. So it's still a tough market. If you go on a weekly basis, only 15 were up, 35 were down. Because I have a cryptocurrency report where I follow 50 of the largest cryptocurrencies. Not interested in initial coin offerings because, honestly, it's hard to predict how the market's going to react to them. So I wait for a little while before I initiate coverage on them. Mm-hmm. I'm looking more for the mature coins, but sad to say, some of these mature coins on this 50 coin list are barely 4 or 5 months old.
Right.
But they've established themselves. And a little later, we'll talk about some individual ones. But I sort of want to help people to understand. One of the reasons we found cryptocurrencies interesting and why I think they've picked up the last couple of days is because the government finally admitted the other day that the dollar has gone down 10% against all other major foreign currencies last year. That's unprecedented. We haven't seen that kind of a drop since 1896 when the panic took place.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, most people never studied that. Even the Depression of 1929 didn't take down the dollar that much. And also the little mini Depression of 21 didn't. But you know what it did to Germany?
Right.
I mean, it destroyed their currency. And sad to say, we've seen the same thing starting to happen in this country. Because, you know, even though people only got a 2% increase in their Social Security benefits, I can guarantee you it's costing more than 2% from what it was last year just to pay the bills.
Right.
I mean, I go to the grocery store, it's a lot harder to try to make the ends meet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you want to buy a decent vehicle these days that's brand new, at a minimum you're dropping $25,000. And I can remember when you paid $3,500 for a new vehicle back in the 70s. So it sort of tells you just how much real inflation is out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to be, when I was 16 years old, I could take a $100 bill and go to a car lot and get something off the what they call the back lot, but they were running a good used vehicle for $100.
I agree with you on that, because it was maybe cost me a little bit more than that, but, you know, now you can't even hardly look at a used vehicle for less than $4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah.
However, some people have set up a secondary market, and there's some websites appearing that you can find vehicles a little cheaper. And people have been sending some of those to me, wondering if they're legitimate. You know, I try to check them out as I can, but some of the prices are incredible. But you really you have to be careful on that. But instead of talking about that,
let me butt in just a second, just because you something I know about talking about cars. Yeah, I actually, brother, my truck sitting outside. I paid $1,500 for it. It was advertised for $3,500, and that was on Craigslist. I just stuck with it and bought it, but I put over a couple of $1,000s in it. So whatever you buy for a lower price might be a good deal, but be prepared. You're going to be putting probably $1,000 or $1,500 or $2,000 in the vehicle just to repair everything.
I agree with you there. One of the things, but the real... What really devastated the dollar was back about a year after Barack Obama got in as president. They put through this $1 trillion pork barrel bill. Remember he said they were all shovel-ready jobs, which they weren't?
Yeah, what happened to those?
Well, basically what it was everybody on the Democrat side of the aisle got their pork barrel projects put through so they could go home and tell their people, I'm bringing home the bacon. Not very kosher, but that's what they tried to portray. But the trouble is, Barack Obama, in his presidency, added more to the national debt than the first 43 presidents did combined. That is a lot of pressure to put on a currency. especially when most of that money being put in is not accompanied by an increase in economic value. When you go and work somewhere and you get paid for it, that is an increase in economic value. But if you sit home and get welfare, that is not an increase in value. And sad to say, we have just printed so much money, or the Federal Reserve has. We'll talk about Federal Reserve in a minute. But what has happened is we've printed so much money, and what's happened is when we print all this money without any increase in economic value, we get inflation. And even back in, say, the late 1980s, Ernst & Winnie, then a Big Eight CPA firm, was commissioned to do a study on what they felt the real inflation rate was. And they said 15% a year. What they do when the government does the numbers is they take out everything that goes up and put in things that either go down or don't go up very much. So it's like they're fudging the number. And they have to. If they had to admit to the real inflation rate, one, they would have to give pay increases based upon it, one. And two, they would have to pay interest on what they end up having to be charged. So instead of paying maybe 1 or 2% for their money right now, they probably have to pay 6 or 7%. And when that happens, suddenly the payments on the national debt would be greater than the amount of taxes collected. And when that happens, the government is broke and the dollar is gone. And we're close to that right now. We're looking at a dollar that is depreciating by the day, which is why suddenly we're seeing a lot of interest in cryptocurrencies, because they are not government issues. They are issued by businesses, and businesses who don't have to pay for social programs, who don't have to pay for charity. They might give money to charity, but what they're doing is they're creating their own money. And now there's about well over 2,000 of these cryptocurrencies that are out there, but there's a few that have sort of risen to the top. And what I've been interested in these is trying to find ones that have good business plans. What are they going to do with this coin that's going to cause these coins to increase in value? And that's a very hard thing to determine. You find yourself going through dozens and dozens of websites, reading business plans, reading white papers, trying sometimes to make sense of them. And, you know, sometimes, though, I don't get interested in one. Like, for instance, I read one yesterday, and what they were trying to do was come up with a way for people in Romania to buy power efficiently and not pay so much to third parties to get power. Because what blockchain technology does is it cuts out the middleman. When you buy something with a crypto coin, the only two people in that transaction are you and the person you're buying from. And with that, you've cut out a third person that's usually a party in all transactions. You're cutting out the bank. And that's why banks and why brokerages are almost scampering to try to get into this, because they can't survive the way it is now. Because with dollars decreasing in value, these rises in the stock market, are they real rises? Or are just the inflated dollars looking like they're more when they're not? I mean, almost every day you see the Dow Jones Industrial Average reaching record levels. It's happened, what, five times this week already.
Yeah, it's just crazy how high it's going. It's never been as high as it is now, and it doesn't look like slowing down. It seems like to me that would crash at some point.
Well, but what's interesting is people have studied. They've taken and discounted the stock market for inflation. You know what's interesting? Almost every time I see a study like that, when you take inflation put inflation into the currency and redo the stock market, it isn't any higher than it was in the 1970s.
Just all inflation.
Yes, and that's what's raising the stock market now, is inflation. That rise is illusory. And a lot of people are starting to realize this, and realizing that until we get honest currencies, we really don't know if we have a gain or not. Of course, the IRS loves it, because with all these gains, people have to pay taxes on those gains when they sell their stock. And they just recently ruled that if you make money on cryptocurrencies, you have to pay capital gains taxes on that. But
right,
they're sort of stuck, because what if somebody uses a foreign exchange to do their dealing on cryptocurrencies? And it isn't hard to do.
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to have to go to a break in less than a minute, so you need to give your website.
Okay, go to whitestonefoundation.org, and for the Bible code that I put up shortly after your program, it's biblecodes.co, C-O for Colorado. And if you want to write me at tom@whitestonefoundation.org. And after the break, I'm going to tell you about a little program we're getting ready to do.
Okay, well, I can't wait to hear about it. And, folks, we'll come back in 3 minutes. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And so, folks, pray about it. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You know, right now, we're in the flu season. People are dying from this flu. I'm not going to go into about the flu shots or not, you know, but my point is people are dying from it. Hospitals in Wichita, Kansas are at full capacity. People are really being sent to other cities for beds, really. Anyway, even visitors have been barred from the hospital. And it's really tough on the poor and homeless. Why is that? Because, you know, even if they go to the hospital and get treatment, you know, there's things that they won't even give you an antibiotic for over a week to make sure it's turned dwarfed into a bacterial infection. My point is this, is so what do you use to get through the flu? Aspirins, ibuprofen, Advil, those things. You use cough medicines that you buy over the counter, those things. Maybe something over the counter to break up congestion. Well, can you imagine, some of you out there I know that, listen, you've had the flu probably. And so how do you get through that without access to those things if you have no money? That's my point. Over-the-counter medications. We are the only ministry in Wichita, Kansas that I know that gives those things out. We give them out freely. But right now, you know, we're just recovering from being off radio and a few other things for a couple of weeks and the church being closed because of the heat. And we're just getting back on our feet. Donations started to go up and then it just dropped dramatically. But we are out of just about everything over there. And we really do need these products. If you live in Wichita, go by the Dollar Tree, pick up a bag full of these things and drop them off at the Mission Church. But we also need your finances because, you know, I got a list of things that I need to cover at the grocery store just to open up tomorrow, just to open up. And that's over $100. And right now, currently, I have about $18 in my PayPal account. Imagine that. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. We need all kinds of things over there. We need blankets, coats, gloves, King James large print Bibles. Right now, we do have some hats left, but that's not going to be for very long. Support us so we can care for the people the Father sends us, men, women, children from all walks of life who had a bad break and come to us for help. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. We're not a 501(c). Most people won't touch us with a 10-foot pole with a donation because we're not a 503(c), even though you could still get a tax deduction if you want to. They just want the government number. But anyway, it's only folks like you that listen to us on the radio that supported us for now in our 18th year when that we've been doing this Mission Church. We minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through after dark, and a lot of people don't even want to go through there in the daylight, and I don't blame them. I mean, right out on the streets. Like Mom was telling me the other day, she was counting all the lady prostitutes that were out on the street for us. She was talking to me on the phone in the parking lot. You know, and it was just amazing. But that's where we're at. But shouldn't the body of Messiah be among the sinners? That's where Yeshua was at. He was around the sinners and around the poor. So we need your help now to stay open. Help us with the new faces that keep coming in, men, women, and even children. We are the last hope for so many. And folks, we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. I mean it. If some of you folks, if ever I had even a small part of my listening audience, everybody donated $50 or $10 or $100, it would get us right where we need. It would help dramatically. So any size of donation helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Really, folks. If you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to this radio program for information. You know, the only way that we stay on the air is through your donations for radio. As airtime is not free, and your donation keeps us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, or you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. And now we're back talking about cryptocurrencies with Tom Mack. Are you still with me, Tom?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, yeah. Take us where you want us to go, brother.
One thing, do you take crypto coins on your, or cryptocurrency on your website?
I wouldn't know how to do that. Maybe you can help me.
Okay, basically what you do, you set up a Coinbase account, and one of the things they'll have for you is a script that you can put on your website. And then people can give you crypto coins by copying that thing and putting it in there to send on their wallet or on their Coinbase account or on their trading account. And it isn't that hard. And they can be sending you crypto coins. And I know Bitcoin is now accepted by PayPal. So they can pay it. You can cash it out of the crypto coin into cash that you need to buy stuff. And, you know, all I can say is if you had one Bitcoin, you know, we're talking 11 grand right now. One Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
You realize if you bought that Bitcoin in 2011, it was a nickel.
Wow.
And if you'd bought yourself five bucks worth of them,
you'd
those
be
$5 worth, yeah, mm-hmm. you'd be a millionaire.
Yeah, that's
what it tells you a little. Yeah, that's going to tell you something right there. And
well,
there's
you've
a lot of
make
other. Excuse me?
Okay. I was just going to say, well, you're definitely going to have to, I'm going to have to talk to you, you know, when we're off the program and have you help me set that up. Anyway, so yeah, it's amazing how much money people have made with it, but it's just kind of spooky because, you know, when, you know, that's my problem I have with the real dollar. It's the real dollar is nothing because it's just on paper, and this seems to be the same way. I mean, what's the difference?
Well, because it's created by real value. In the case of Bitcoin, it's created by people mining Bitcoin, which requires work. And that work is done by computers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, right now, NVIDIA is having a problem with selling video cards because that's what you use to mine all the cryptocurrencies, and you could mine a whole bunch of them. And people have setups in their houses, 15 computers mining crypto coins. One thing you got to understand, you're going to have a power bill through the roof when you do it. But if you can make enough with your crypto coins mining, you're not going to care. Because if your power bill's a couple thousand dollars and you mine one Bitcoin that's worth 11, you'll be happy for the profit.
Yeah.
Well, these days, not too many people are mining Bitcoins. They're mining Ethereum, which is another cryptocurrency. In fact, if you look on my little list, it's number 4. And it's right now worth, it usually stays at about $1,000 a coin.
Hmm.
It's not
well,
one of my
you know
favorite.
I don't understand. You know, and you, I listened to you the last time you talked, and we came to this point. I said, well, how are they made? And you said, well, people are mining. That's the thing I don't understand is the mining. I mean, you know, do you have something written on it? Or if you don't, you should write out what mining is because, mining with my computer, well, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me because it's not
okay. There are plenty of YouTube videos that tell you how to mine the various cryptocurrencies.
Oh, really?
For me to spend time talking about that, I don't think is helpful, but there are plenty. In fact, for anything about cryptocurrencies,
mm-hmm.
I have gone through and I have read, I've listened to videos, I've looked in websites and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but the only thing I haven't found in all of this is that I haven't found anybody who's done technical analysis on cryptocurrencies. I mean, you go into the stock market and technical analysts are a dime a dozen. And, you know, some of them that are really good, like, say, a Marty Zweig, who the Friday before the big stock market crash in 87 warned people about it. Of course, he got a very dirty look from Louis Rukeyser of Wall Street Week when he said that. But when it happened, guess what? Marty Zweig had him, who only showed up on that program once a month, was obliged to come back the next week and explain himself just like I had to today. So I understand a little bit of what he went through now.
Yeah, amen.
Because he's, you know, I did not expect this. I expected this to take a while. But cryptocurrencies move fast. You have to watch them all the time. You can, because remember, cryptocurrencies are traded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's no time off on weekends. They don't even take Shabbat off, which bothers me a little bit. Because last Shabbat, the crypto coins went up. Made me wonder a little bit. But then come Sunday, they went right back down. So that's what I call bear trap rally, or that's what most analysts would call that, is when you have a down market and the trend is downward, you will have rises in it where people think they have an opportunity, so they buy in, which forces the market up for a little while. But in a bear market, it's still going to go down. Because it rises a little bit, the bears take their chance to sell and get out. And so that forces the market downward. As I say, rising interest rates, Janet Yellen decided that her little gift to the world was raising interest rates before she left the Federal Reserve. Which, by the way, you must remember, the Federal Reserve, there's nothing federal about it. It is owned by the member banks. It is not owned by us, the taxpayer. It should be, but the 1913 Act set it up as being owned by banks. So they work for the interests of the banks and not for us.
Right.
And remember, when the government prints money, they're not printing money. The Federal Reserve is printing money and then charging the government interest.
Right. Right. The Federal Reserve...
Pretty good racket for them.
That's the beat from Jekyll Island, man. That is totally a scam, you know. That's fractional banking, and it's a paperwork scam. But we're sucked into it. We have no choice but to use it. Back to you.
But that's where cryptocurrencies is now upsetting the apple cart, because they are not dependent on the bankers. In fact, one of the interesting things, I have it up on my Facebook page, and the focus of the little video is how a woman refused to sell her soul, even though the deal was great for her. But at the end of that video, this high-ranking demon, he yells at some of his underlings and says, this is not Wall Street, this is hell. We have a thing called integrity. If people can't trust us, who'll deal with us? And, you know, I'm starting to see with this deep state, nobody can trust them. So, what is the devil doing? He's ditching them. He's ditching all these people, and we're happy. But what I'm worried about, and the Bible code, and I've added a few more words to it. I will send it to you after the program, and you can put it up. I am finding that the devil is junking the whole system and building a new one. And that's what we need to worry about.
Right.
I think
so here's the point. So, look, now, if this is going to end up being a one-world thing that, only, you know, you've got to have it to buy, sell, or trade, why should we get into it?
Well, the biggest thing is, one, because it may be the only currency that holds up in the next few years. When our dollar collapses and suddenly we need a wheelbarrow full of dollars to buy a loaf of bread, we need something else. Gold hasn't done it. Gold has held pretty much the same price the last 15 years. And it's not appreciating in value. And right now, the world governments are doing everything they can to keep the gold price down.
Right.
But the trouble is they can't control the cryptocurrencies, because
right.
the cryptocurrencies are built separate from them.
Well, my advice about gold, let me say this real quick. My advice about gold is a way of maintaining your wealth, not necessarily getting richer off of it, but it's a way of maintaining wealth and keeping it. You know, I think, I'm not sure who it was that told me, it might have even been my producer, Frank, but if you took away the inflation and all that from the price of gold, it costs you the same amount of gold to buy, say, a shirt as it did 20 years ago, as now, just add the inflation to it back to you.
Yes, but the trouble is it's not appreciating now. And I do find it interesting to watch for movements of gold, because when countries get ready to go to war, they often have to sell gold to buy munitions. But now, with cryptocurrencies, they're switching and starting to use some of these. One of the ones I find really interesting, sort of at the bottom of my list, well, not so bottom, but at 32, is one called Zcash. And their objective is that every transaction in their system is completely confidential. And it's encrypted so that the governments cannot track what they're doing or what you're doing. So if you're a foreign dictator and you want to start a war and you got to buy munitions to do it, Zcash could very well be your way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few others that offer confidentiality too. Cardano does it. But I think the most interesting play on this, right now they're too high, but they're worth watching. There's one called VeChain and one called Walton Chain. And those coins are tied to radio frequency IDs. If there's anything that's getting to be the mark of the beast, it's Walton Chain and VeChain. By the way, Walton Chain is not connected with Walmart in any way. When I saw that, that was my first idea, and I checked it out. Turned out they named it for the inventor of RFID, Charles Walton, who's not related to any people in Arkansas. Walton's a pretty common name, but this guy lives out in California, and he was the first one to come up with RFID. And RFID is a way to track assets, to make sure that when people buy them, that they get them. But governments like RFID because then they can track these assets, and no matter where they go, they know who owns them. So, yeah,
right.
They're not real thrilled with RFID, but it is good asset management practice. And these currencies are connected to it, because once you buy the assets, the currency goes to the seller. And it's done on a blockchain with no third-party interference of any kind. No bank checks or anything, just the transaction between buyer and seller.
Right. Right, absolutely. You know, one thing about Bitcoin, people say, well, $1,100 for a Bitcoin, I don't have the money to buy Bitcoin. You can just buy part of a Bitcoin, right?
Well, and honestly, I would not recommend buying Bitcoins right now. 11 grand is a lot of money. Right now, VeChain can be had for $7 a coin. Walton Chain for $33. That's a little more. Or if you want my number two pick, it's called Stellar Lumens. And it is 60 cents a coin right now. And it has done better than almost all the others. And another one, $14, is EOS. And another one I just is called LISC. And LISC might be an interesting thing for you because you could write a program using the LISC protocol so that people can give you money. And if you could get somebody to learn the LISC protocol, you could literally set up a system where they can give you money and do it completely in a confidential manner. Because, you know, Yeshua said, we're not supposed to brag about who we give our money to.
Right.
And I have always tried, when I give money, the only people that know I give them the money is the people who got it. I don't even like to write checks.
Right.
And because Yeshua said, you're not supposed to let third parties know who you're giving money to. Because if you do, you're getting your reward on earth and not in heaven. I'm sorry, I want my reward to come from heaven, not earth.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I did promise something, and I'm going to say it right now. Your program actually started something when I talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really? What did it start?
You know, a lot of people started saying, you need to do a podcast. You need to do a YouTube channel dedicated to cryptocurrency. And and so I've had, in fact, I got a couple phone calls to answer, which they probably aren't going to hear from me till tomorrow, and I apologize for that.
Right.
But there are people calling wanting to know about this system and how I use it. And honestly, the best way to do it, and my son's been working with me a little bit on it, is we're going to set up a channel, and we're going to talk about these cryptocurrencies and discuss when they're going up, when they're going down, when to invest in them, when to stay out. Because it's...
Well, that's why, you know, brother, that's why I brought you on the program about cryptocurrencies anyway, is because there's, you know, people that you can, while there's a lot of information, like you say, out there to look up, people are skeptical. They want to hear from somebody that they do trust or they've been listening to. And, you know, you've been on the program a long time, so people, you know, well, okay, there's Tom Mack. So, okay, just be careful. And as a reminder to everybody, you know, I have you on for educational purposes, and that's why you're doing it, is for educational purposes, correct?
Yes. I am a man I used to respect a lot. He did fine as long as he did investment advisory. But then he decided to do a mutual fund and take other people's money. And he got burned by the 87 crash. Good Christian man. If I gave you his name, you'd know who he was.
Right.
And he was he was so good at predicting the stock market, they had him on Wall Street Week. Even though he was a Christian financial advisor.
That's funny.
They didn't treat him very well, but he...
Right.
But what happened, he started taking other people's money and investing it for him. And he got, you know, he lost a lot because of that. And I don't think it helped his health either, because he died shortly thereafter. So,
well,
this
is a good place
to do that.
We're going to have to wrap the program up here because, you know, we ran out of time, basically. Well, that's the truth. We ran out of time. So give them your website and everything one more time, and we'll get you back on soon. So people are interested. Tell them your website, and we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay. WhitestoneFoundation.org is the main website. BibleCodes.co is the secondary website. I have WhiteCotticePublishing.com if you want to publish your manuscript. And we also have WhitestoneTechnologies.co, which is probably going to be the organization that manages the podcast. And if you want to keep track and find out when we're going to start broadcasting, it's probably going to be that website where we'll announce it. Also, I have a Facebook page, Tom Mack. You can friend me, and I'll keep you posted there, too.
Okay.
Thank you for having me on.
I do really appreciate it. And, folks, you'll be able to find all these links wherever this is at, podcast. All right. Goodbye, Tom. You be blessed. We'll talk again.
Shalom.
Shalom. Well, folks, Tom Mack talking about cryptocurrencies. I'm not telling you to buy or sell. I don't know enough about it to even advise you, period. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. And remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.